Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. Another week's already passed, and we're started off here in a teaching this morning, and my plans are to go over into the teaching here into true worship, because there's some things we want to talk about with the children of Israel. And we're really in picking up from where we were last week. But before we go there, the Lord has put it in my heart this morning. I was going to go over into the areas to just go directly into this teaching. And the Lord began to speak to me about talking about the areas of finances, because things that are going on, even with our nation right now, and things that are going on, there's a lot of financial problems. And I'm not sure where everybody is right now. I know some are working. Some maybe are not working as many hours as they did before. And I know it's a lot of things and a lot of stress and stuff on areas of people's lives. It could be. I don't know if it is for you. But I want to share with you this morning, the Lord wants me to talk about some certain things, because there is things we have as a church's obligation during this time period and that stuff. The church has not brought in the amount of money that we normally do. And but we do have obligations, and I want to talk to you about that and talk about, because I'm interested in this, and this is where I'm coming from. It's not about the church getting its money. What it's about is us as believers, what I want you to do in the time period that we're in right now. This is important about what we do as individuals in our walk of faith during this time, because there's one thing about sowing and reaping. We're not going to reap today for what we sow today. It's going to be down the road. And we're looking down the road. Many people see our blessing that we should have right now is from what we've been sowing in the past. And so now this time, during these time periods, for the crop coming in, is what coming in is what we walked and lived in our giving and our sowing and our Christian faith. And this is the times that we do walk in by faith. And let me just say this. This is the faith time. This is the time that whether it's our giving and whatever it is that we do, we don't do it by what we see or what we physically think that we have. We do by faith, but what we can't see. We believe that God will bless us and take care of us, so we do things. We're giving by faith. If I give just on the basis of what I think I have and I can give, or, well, what if this thing goes on and we stay in lockdown and things get, well, what happens? Because there's all kind of reports of all kind of stupid stuff said out here and everything, putting people in fear and in worry. I mean, people are closing things down for so long times ahead. I mean, we're talking about places that are already planning on not opening till next year. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I just want you to know, folks, that's going to be tough on the economy. They know they're talking about Disney World's not going to open and that kind of stuff. Do you realize how many people are employed there, and how much in those communities down there, how many hundreds of thousands of jobs and businesses are affected by something like that? So we're talking about a lot of money, because you got all these other parks down there, all this stuff going on there. I mean, that's a huge hit on an economy and those things. But we need to understand, things ain't going to just affect them down there. It's going to affect us here. It can affect us, or we can be doing something about it here and right now. And praise God, one of the things I'm going to talk about, because things Wanda and I have been doing for years, we learned over time of what to do in our Christian walk. Over the years of our getting saved, from the time of 1980 till today, I've learned in the past 40 years about some things to do and some things to walk in so you don't face certain problems. And so I want to just talk about those. And, you know, with the church, you know, our finances have been down. There's certain obligations that we have. You know, we have the church rent we got to pay. Maybe we're not meeting there, but we got to pay the rent. Steve Wagner, who owns the building, he still has his stuff that he has to cover with payments on the building and different things. So he needs us to be paying so him, and we want to bless him. Because, see, he has a business, that his other business that runs, is does for doing weddings and all that kind of stuff and parties. Well, he can't run right now. So he doesn't have income. Well, we need to help him out. We need to not sit around. As number one, when things open up again, we want to have a building to go to. And if we haven't been paying rent, he can easily shut the door and say, no, you guys ain't using it anymore. Well, but we're just not doing it from that standpoint. We had the beginning of this month in April, the board met, and one of the things that up front we talked about was the paying of our rent. That's what we're going to keep paying. We want to bless Steve and help Steve. And we feel it's our obligation. We need to do that. And I believe that, I believe if we want to be blessed as a congregation, we need to continue that. Well, it's also, we have obligations, and I want to say this, to our missionaries. Now, in April here, our missions offering was way down, from what it normally is, people giving in those areas. And I want to talk to us about that is one of the things is I believe is so important. Our missionaries and the people, the ministries we support, these ministries are either missionaries in another country or they're a ministry here, even in the United States. And they're either like a traveling ministry or stuff. They don't have an income other than they can go out and minister and people who give to them monthly. In other words, they don't have anything coming in. And I know this for a fact. When hard times hit, like the things right now, the first thing that most Christians do is quit giving to the ministries they've committed themselves to. And they don't realize how maybe something happens to us financially. Maybe I, would be in a financial bind and I couldn't give something, that I normally do. But I'm going to put something out. I'm going to set myself as the best I can and as far as my faith can go is to keep sowing into that. Because, see, there are things that are important. When we met together as the church board, there's one thing as I told the board. There's the obligations of the church. See, I believe that these ministries that we support, and our church in support and ministry goes through us about $700 a month out to the missionaries. And for our size of church, and get $700 a month, that's a good chunk of change. I mean, there's churches much bigger than us that don't give near that a month. They don't do near that kind of thing. And but anyhow, we're giving that out a month, but I believe it's an obligation that we have to help these people. And I told the board this myself. I said, we need this time that we're in. I said, obligation-wise, our number one obligation that I set for myself is this, is before my pay, they get paid. See, I put those people first. See, it's one of the things is walking in love. I can't put me first. And I ain't going to put me first. See, I've learned this over the years. If I walk in love and put others first, God will take care of me. And I'm convinced of this. I want them to have their money before I get any money. And so, see, that is up front on me. But see, I've learned this over the years as number one is walking in this. This pays off. It's always paid great dividends for me. It's not guaranteed. I'm sitting around trying to figure out how I can guarantee me a paycheck. No, I want to set myself what to sow. And so, I ask you, maybe financially, maybe it's been more difficult for you and things right now, but I'm just going to tell you to do this if you want to be blessed. Why? Because we reap what we sow. And I said in the beginning, it's not what you sow right now, right at this time. It's not what you're sowing exactly now. You're going to reap down the road. In other words, many people, this is what happens to them. They go through periods where they haven't been sowing. And what they do is they get down the road, and all of a sudden they realize, all of a sudden they hit a dry spot, and there ain't a spot there, and nothing comes in. They can't, things ain't working right. They wonder what's going on. Well, you look back at the past of your sowing. That's what you look at. See, because I'm sowing in advance. I don't want to have a dead spot. The Bible talks about, casting your bread upon the water and it returns on every wave. Well, if you ain't been casting upon the water, there's some waves coming in and ain't going to have anything on it. I want you to have it on it. Maybe you normally give, $50 to something, but maybe you only give five now. Give the five. Don't know not give. And that's not for here, for the church or somebody. That's for you. That is in your giving. I want you to be blessed. My desire. So you don't want to cut back. And many people do that and they hurt themselves and cut themselves off. So we normally in our church bring in anywhere from, over $400 to $600. And a month usually comes in offerings toward our missionaries. And so when it's back, much less than that. And so people aren't giving. Just because we're not meeting together, we don't mean we don't have these obligations. And that's an obligation of our church. And I take it personally as my obligation. And, I'll tell you, any church that I ever belonged to, the obligations of that church I took on as my obligations too, because I'm a part of that church. And so Wanda and I learned this, and this is how the blessing comes in our giving. So I want to encourage you. We had this past in March, we had the was one of the things that was scheduled was for the it was for Lebanon Rescue Mission. Lebanon Rescue Mission, you know, are offering, and well, really, that came out. There was only $150 come in for Lebanon Rescue Mission in March, and usually we're much higher than that on our. We always give a very good offering to them a month. And so just because we're not meeting together didn't mean that, you know, we don't give to those. And they say, well, maybe we can't afford to give as much. Well, that's fine. Well, you know, if the whole thing is if you can give a few dollars, if you can give them or whatever it is, do what you can. I'm just encouraging you. Don't get over this thing and quit your sewing. You know, don't try to get back, you know. We need to understand these things and that stuff. I mean, of doing. In fact, I'm just, and the Lord has me talk about this. You folks, I don't necessarily talk a whole bunch about what Wanda and I do concerning our personal giving and that kind of stuff. I'll make mention that we have ministries we give to outside of the of what we do concerning the church and that stuff, and tithing with the church, and we give missions offering for the church and things like that. But I mean, Wanda and I, we give hundreds of dollars, and I'm not talking about a couple hundred. We give hundreds of dollars a month away to ministries and things, and now even others, like we even other than ministries, you know, there's we give monthly to the Wounded Warriors and things and stuff like that to help our soldiers and stuff that have been injured and things and stuff. We want to be a blessing to them, and so we do those kinds of things, and they're on the top of our priority. We don't think about what the conditions are we are in financially. We give out to them, and we make sure, and we give to them. And this month we've had, in fact, there is one ministry we support them. We give them a nice check every month. And that same ministry, we turned around and we felt led to give them $1,000 this month, and we sent them a check for $1,000. Now, I'm not doing that to brag you. I don't say, we're under a very pressured time in our nation financially. If you haven't looked around what's going on, some people are even saying, well, this could be worse than the Great Depression. Well, I want to tell you what, I know people went through the Great Depression. There's one thing I want to know that I've been sowing before that depression comes. I want to know, because I want to be taken care of. I don't want to wait to have not been given and the depression comes and then wondering why nothing comes in. Folks, you don't do that. See, Wanda and I learned this. Wanda and I learned that in the times we were under the greatest financial pressure is the times that we did our giving. We made sure we were giving under those times of pressure. We didn't stop. And it has paid off for us over the years. And we have seen such great blessing come to us. And I'm not doing this for I'm not saying this. Don't take this as me bragging about anything. I'm not bragging about a thing. This is our lifestyle. This is the way we've learned to live, of what's important and what's not. And I'm going to share it with you because it has paid off. Wanda and I have never lacked for money. Ever since we learned this. Well, we know, Wanda and I know what it is to live and lack for money. We've been there. We know what it is to not have. And, you know, we want to have. As number one, there's things during these time periods, we don't consider things at all of what we would either like to have or, you know, what we want or what we'd like to have. They're not in the top of the list. Right now we look is concerning what we need, and then, but first on the list is the need of others. And we look at God's work and what's going on is making sure that those things are supported and done. Every time Israel failed in their giving to the temple, whether it was their tithe, they failed in their giving and offerings and things to that there, Israel always went, had huge financial problems and suffered as a nation. Well, I'll tell you what, I've learned from those things in my own personal life, and Wanda and I have learned these things, is turn around and being givers. You know, we have, in the middle of this time here, we have some other things that we're going to give some more special offerings to. This is what we're going to do. Now, we're not doing this because, see, people think, well, you're doing this because you're rich. We ain't doing this because we're rich. We're doing this because we understand the principles of sowing and reaping and under pressure. You know, don't expect to have a crop you did not sow. Don't expect it. You know, what you sow today is not going to come in tomorrow. Tomorrow, Wanda and I ain't going to get up, and we aren't going to reap from what we're sowing this month. We're going to reap from what we have sown the months before. And so I see ahead. There's people, I'm just going to tell you, there's suffering coming ahead for people. There is suffering. See, people don't like what's going on now. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You just be surprised. These people running around telling everything will be wonderful and good and saying all this kind of stuff. I'm just going to tell you, it ain't going to go well for a lot of people. I've, you know, God's warned us about this. I have spoken about this before, and so I'm saying these things because my desire is for you to be blessed. That's what I want, you to be blessed. I want you to have to give. You know, the Bible tells us that. It tells us we work. Why do we work with our hands? So we have to give to those in need. So we want to get around. See, I want to be, during this time, I'm a giver. I don't want to be a guy trying to run around and get something from somebody. I'm not going to do that. And so I want you to understand where my heart is in this. I'm not saying these things try to get an offering out of you for me. That's not. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to get offerings for our missionaries and things that we support. I want them to have the money that they need. That's my great desire. And so I want you, in doing that, you'll be blessed. And so, you know, look, you can only give what you can. Now, you have obligations that you have, whether they're house payments or different thing, and you have those obligations and things. But now is not the time to sit around and think of the things that you want. You know, well, you know, let's look for more pleasures because we're locked down in the home and I just don't like being locked in there, and maybe we can buy some more toys to play with. I'm just telling you, don't be doing that stuff. You be sit down and think about what the real needs are out here. You want your needs met. You want to pay your bills and that kind of things and do stuff. And but you don't want to. This is no time to be buying toys and stuff if you can't afford to do it. There's no time to be doing those kinds of things. This is the time as a look down. I'm going to tell you what. I believe this with all my heart. This is one of the best sowing seasons that you could ever have. This is a sowing season. I believe it's a sowing season. Because see, Wanda and I learned this. Every time things got hard, that's when we start doing more sowing. And you know what? It's always paid off. So I want it to pay off for you. This isn't about me. This is about you. You know, God, you know, whether you give or not, God has to take care of me because I've sowed. Because I'm a sower. And so He has to take care of me. So I'm not saying it's for me because I will be blessed. Hallelujah. Thank God. God is good. So I want you to be blessed. So don't let the times, it's like I said, you sit down. Maybe you haven't been able to work or something, you know, like because some people can't. But what you can do, you know, if you can do a dollar, do a dollar. You know, sow something. Because we reap from what we sow. You can't reap from what you didn't sow. See, many people are trying to, well, God, give me money. Well, you know, it is only natural for something to come back to me. So a farmer don't go to the end of the year and say, God, give me a crop of corn. I know I didn't plant any, but give me a crop of corn. It's not going to happen. Well, we need to understand that, you know. Isaac, he in the time of famine sowed and reaped 100-fold. But he sowed. In the time of famine, he didn't keep and eat all his seed. I'm going to keep it all here because we might need this, man. It ain't been raining, so we better just keep everything we got. It's been a hard time. So I just want to encourage you in this to make sure that you take the time out in this to sow. And so that's what we're talking about. I know I've taken time out here to do this, is to talk about this, but we're going to go over to our regular teaching, but the Lord spoke to me about this to talk about these things to you. And so we did, and it's for your blessing. Hallelujah. God's not just trying to get in your pocket. He's wanting to put something in your pocket. He wants you to be blessed. I totally believe this. Till this end of this year is out, there's going to be a greater divide between those that are blessed and those who are not. It's going to be a greater divide. And I'll tell you what, I've decided we're going to be on the blessed side. That's what we're going to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a lot is going to happen over this time period. And you know, there's things that we want to step into. One of the things I want to follow the Word of God for is not just for money. I want to step into the glory that God has prepared for us. And that's my great desire. I want God to be able to manifest through the church in His glory greater than has ever been manifest before. And hallelujah. I'm going to do it because these are the times now that I'm going to walk by faith, not by what I see. I'm going to walk. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk like I'm blessed. I'm not going to walk like I don't have. I'm going to sow like I have, not like I don't have. I'm going to walk and follow the plan of God. Well, we're going to go back over the areas of our teaching. We were teaching the last time from the book of Exodus. And we were looking at the children of Israel in the 32nd chapter. And we're going to go back to those things and look into them where Moses had been up on the mountain with God. And how before he went up there, that he took the elders of Israel, he took Aaron along to the foot of the mountain, and they went there, and Aaron's son, Nadab and Abihu, and he took them there, and they saw the Lord. They saw, so in other words, God appeared to them, and they saw him, and said they ate and drank before the Lord. But we find out that God called Moses up on the mountain, and Moses went up on the mountain, and he was up there for 40 days, and while he was up there, God gave him the tablets with the law. And while he was up there, then the Lord spoke to him and told him what happened down below. See, the people came around and they got unsettled, and everything else came to Aaron. And Moses said to Aaron, he was in charge. In fact, God had established that Aaron was in charge, because Aaron's going to be the high priest. In a sense, Aaron's a preacher. He's the preacher. Well, the people went to the preacher and they said to the preacher, we don't know what happened to this Moses guy. And he said, we want you, this is what we want you to do. We want you to make us gods. We want you to make us a god to worship. Now, the children of Israel had already heard, Moses had already talked to them before he went up to the mountain, that they weren't supposed to make any images. God said, don't make any images. These people had said, God wanted to talk to them, and they said, no, God, don't talk to us. You talk to Moses, and then when he comes, he'll tell us, and we'll do whatever he says. Well, immediately, they're disobeying. And they came and gave Aaron a hard time till Aaron caved in and gave in. And we talked about that. It has not changed any. Paul wrote to Timothy and told him what was going to happen. The people were going to have itching ears. They were going to draw teachers to themselves. They weren't going to stay with sound doctrine. And boy, we're here today. It's the same thing. It's not changed. Paul told Timothy, this is what's going to happen. People are going to do this. Well, this is what they did. The teacher ended up controlled by the people. He's going to do what they wanted. So he made them a calf of gold. Now that calf of gold that he made them, that bull calf, that was a calf, an image that the Egyptians worshipped. And he said, told the people, this is your God. Now when he saw God on the mountain, I'll guarantee you, he didn't see no calf. He didn't see no bull calf up there when he saw God. But he said, this is your God. Then he made an altar before it, started sacrificing. So they sacrificed to this. Well, God saw it going on, sent Moses down. And Moses pleaded with God, because God wanted to kill them all. And he told Moses, I'll just make out of you a nation. He said, no, don't do that. Spare them. Well, what happened was when Moses got down there, see, Moses couldn't see what God saw. And he said, No, God, don't kill him. Well, he got down to the bottom of the mountain and he said, let's kill him. And so we find out that they killed 3,000 of the people. Moses, God told him to. And so Moses obeyed God. Moses was just downright angry when he saw what was going on there. And we found out some things about God's view on this thing. And we talked last week, well, how do we bring that into our day today, and we talked about how we do that, and things introduced into worship in the churches, the lights and the smoke machines, and really the concert type things that we do, where people aren't really worshiping, they're following along, in a concert and singing, and they're not really worshiping God from their hearts. It's all visual stuff we do today. What do you need laser lights in a church for? What do you need all the visualization? That's not faith. There's no faith in the things of seeing. They're not manifestations of God to see. They're manifestations of men to fulfill men's flesh and the lust of the flesh. And people see that. Oh, they like it. We're so busy today trying to have our emotions moved rather than being moved by our spirit, by the inner man. And that's a lot of Christianity. Christianity today is mostly all flesh. It goes there. You say, we have churches. 20-minute sermon. Why? Because my flesh can't take any more than 20 minutes. My flesh wants to get out and go play. Mine wants to take off my clothes and go dance. Mine wants to go do something like that. This is what we want to do. We want to play. We want to have play church. Don't give me a church where I have to sit down, keep my blind mouth shut, and listen to God. Jesus had said concerning ministry, he said the people come out the multitudes to hear and be healed. Boy, they don't do that today. They don't want to hear nothing. People want to come out. Give me something. Show me an image. Give me, show something on a screen. Do something. Make some lights flash. Do some things, do all this kind of stuff. Well, people want these kind of things that the world has. That's how the world does. It's entertainment. We call it worship today. Well, Hallelujah. I thank God in our church we don't do that. And I thank God for all the churches that don't do that. There are churches out here, wonderful churches and pastors and congregations out here that don't. But I want to tell you, there's a large percentage. A large percentage. That I tell you what, the churches are nothing but playgrounds. We want to go on here and look. I want to go on in reading as what has happened. Now we had the children of Israel. 3,000 of them were slain by the Moses had the Levites go out. And they put on their swords. And I want to go to Exodus to the 32nd chapter. We're going to read here starting. And I want you to see something that Moses, a statement that Moses has made here in this chapter. It'll be good for us to read. The children of Israel have gotten themselves just in a mess and in a trouble over this kind of thing. And the following day after this, it starts in verse 30. It says, "Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, 'You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for you for your sin.'" It said, "Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh, this people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold.'" Now understand this. He had come down from the mountain. Now he went and walked back up to the mountain again under the presence of God. And what to do? He's going back up to try to make atonement for the sin that they did. I want you to understand this. There's a very important thing you need to see in this, what's written about in here. Because we do pray for people. We want to do things. One of the things we talk back, we want to withhold judgment. We found that Moses withheld judgment. We can withhold judgment today, but I want you to see something. Withholding judgment does not make people forgiven. You're going to see this in here. Now, Moses wanted, he's pleading for these people. He said, "Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold.'" See, he said, this is terrible. See, people today don't realize how awful it is what they're doing in churches with these smoke machines and all this kind of stuff going on and laser lights and all this kind of thing they're doing. See, they don't realize how terrible sin this is, how evil this stuff is. They don't know. It's not a great sin to them. And we're going to find out the children of Israel never realized what a great sin it was. It says, "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not..." Now listen, he says, "But if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written." Now listen, he says, look, if you won't forgive them, blot me out of your book. So see, he's going to try to take it on himself, all of what they did. But I want you to see something. God's not going to accept that. This is what God says. And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." See, Moses could stand in the gap so much, but he couldn't take it all. He can't. He said, "Now, therefore, go and lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angels shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit you for punishment..." In other words, there's punishment. We're punishment coming on this thing. Listen. "I will visit punishment upon them for their sin." Now listen. "So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made." See, this is one of the horrible, horrible sins today in the church. Is the teaching of grace that when you sin, you don't have to ask God to forgive you. You're already forgiven. There's no repentance. See, this is an awful, evil, terrible sin. That, well, you know, Jesus died for me and he took my sin, so therefore I can just sin. And I don't have to be bothered with it. It's okay. Everything's all right. Well, it's not all right. We find out here that God said, hold it. You can ask me. See, God didn't destroy them all. And he's going to fulfill the covenant and bring through them, really eventually, the Messiah, which was promised through David. He's going to do that through them. But doesn't mean that he forgave them of everything that they did wrong. He couldn't. Aaron withheld judgment for a time, but judgment's going to come. And we're going to find out with the children of Israel in Scripture. We may withhold judgment on things, but withholding judgment doesn't stop judgment from coming. It just puts it in another time, and it will come. We need to understand that in this day and time. We want to withhold judgment, but we preach the gospel to people and tell people the truth. Judgment's going to come. It will come. We can't withhold it, and that doesn't mean that the judgment then won't come. It will come. And so there's principles that we need to understand about this that would be very good for us in our learning to take our time to go over and read these kinds of things. See, we this has been such shallow teaching on these areas and that stuff about these things. If these things were written for our admonition and our learning, then what have we learned from this? Most Christians preach this stuff. Well, Jesus took care of all this stuff, so now we don't have to worry about none of this. Get a life. Why do you think it's happened what today? If Jesus took care of everything, then why on earth are we dealing with this today we're dealing with? Why are we? Well, the preachers that preach that nonsense, they ain't answering the questions. What they're not dealing with, then what's the cause? If it's all taken care of, what's the cause? Well, there's cause of this stuff going on. And so we want to deal with cause. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we want to follow God. That's our intent, isn't it? Our intent is to follow God. Now, I want to go to Exodus 33 in the next chapter because there's things here we want to read what happened. And what happens here is we get a picture of what happens and we're going to deal with because sin, unrepented sin breaks fellowship. And this is what we want to see is going on. People not in fellowship. Here in Exodus 33, I'm going to start on verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it." And it says, "And I will send my angel before you, I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites." So he's going to drive out all the ites out of the land, all these people, these nations that are in here. But now listen to this. "Go up to a land." Now he says what? "Flowing with milk and honey. For I will," listen, "I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way. For you are a stiff-necked people." Now I want you to see this. We know this about it. He goes, you can get down there and tell these people they're stiff-necked. See, he's going to come down there and talk. Moses is going to talk to him. He comes off the mountain. He said, "This wonderful land." Now listen to what God said. Now God said, under the conditions or the things that's going on, I'm not going to go up with them. I'm not going to. He said, "I can't go up in your midst to this people the way they are. I can't do it." Why? Because of their unholiness, their reproach to God. Unrepentant people. He said, what's wrong? You're stiff-necked. You see, just like today, there are many people out here in the church world that are stiff-necked. And all of this stuff going on out here, all this plague on our nation and around the world, and many Christians. Oh, there's Christians who say, ask God to help them get out of this trouble. But that's all they want God for, is to get them out of the trouble. They're stiff-necked. They're not going to change. They're going to just keep on their merry old way doing what they're doing. And they just look, God is Santa Claus, get me out of my problems. They're stiff-necked people. And we want to see this. It goes on to say, it says, "When the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments." It said they mourned. Now, it didn't say a thing. They repented. And we want to, because we've got to look at this thing here about them. They said they mourned. Oh, wow, now we're in trouble. See, this is a lot of people that are, there's many people today even say they're sorry. But they're only sorry because they got caught. If they wouldn't have got caught, they'd have never said they're sorry about a thing. They're sorry they got caught. They aren't sorry for what they did. Well, they heard they mourned. He didn't put on their ornaments. In other words, they didn't dress up anymore. They didn't put on their jewelry and all their stuff and making themselves, trying to make themselves look good. They didn't do that. They said they didn't put on any ornaments. Now, listen to what it says. "For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people." See, you go tell them they're stiff-necked. He said, "I could come up in your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you." You see, they took off their ornaments, not because they were humbling themselves before God. God told them to. They're just in a place of scared and in trouble. They know they're in all kind of trouble. So now they're doing that. But their heart ain't in it, because you're going to find this out. If you read through Israel through their whole things up to the time of their hauling off into Babylon. God consistently through the prophets called them stiff-necked. They never did quit being stiff-necked. And I'm sorry, but today in the church we got loads of stiff-necks. They're going to just keep what they're doing. Now thank God we ain't. We've set ourselves to know God. And see, we said, and look, sometimes it's hard for me to understand of all the things going on and how blind people are. But I want you to understand. People get over into error and they get so blind they can't see a thing. They can't see nothing. They're in trouble and they don't know it. They're out in the middle of the road and you might stand there and look at the road. You think, my God, can't they see what's coming on them? You obviously see it. You can tell. They can't see it for nothing. They're completely blind. They have a vision before themselves that they've made. And that's what they keep seeing before them. They've been preached to that, well, you don't have to repent. You don't have to do none of that. God's already... So if anything comes along and shows you repentance, that's the devil. The devil's trying to make you feel bad. Well, you better get feeling bad if you've been sinning. It better bother your heart. It better turn around. I'll guarantee you, sin will bring condemnation. And if people say, well, God condemned me. No, God don't condemn us. Our own heart does. Your own heart will condemn you about sin. And if you don't listen to your own heart, you're in trouble. Well, we have here, so it says, so the children of Israel stripped themselves in verse 6. They stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. It says, now listen what happened here. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. I want you to see something. Where did God move? God moved outside the camp. See, before, his tent was in. That tent was in the camp. But see, now God moved out from among them. See, and I want you to talk about it, because see, this is broken fellowship. Sin brings broken fellowship. Now, that doesn't mean they weren't God's people. They sure were God's people. But now they don't have fellowship with God. They're moved outside. Now, if they want a fellowship with God, what do they have to do? They must go to God. And see, we need to understand this. This is what people today, one of the great false things in the church today, people don't go to God to fellowship. They're waiting. They think God just will come to you. You got a problem, God will come to you. No, He won't. You got to go to Him. Come to me, all you that are labored, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You go to God. You know, people are today, you know, if you seek God, you'll find Him. It didn't say, no, He'll come and seek you. We have so much false teaching. And see, this is where this teaching comes from. If you sin, you don't have to repent. No, it's if you come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace, you got to go to the throne. The throne don't go to you. And so we may know these things, but we're living in a generation of people call themselves Christians that are 100% ignorant of this. There's loads of spirit-filled people just as ignorant as the day is long. And so we see it, but see, we want to stay in fellowship with God. Hallelujah. So we and that's our whole intent. But you need to understand why things are going on the way they are today. The devil's had an open door to the world and to the church because of the lack of following the Word of God. Approaching God as He said. We have so much made up Christianity going on out here. It's just made up by men. It's men's idea. They call it Christianity, but it's not. Paul told the church at Colossae, there's another Christ preached. And we do. We today, my words. The major Christ preached is wrong Christ. It ain't according to the Bible. Well, we know the real Jesus. Hallelujah. But oh, so many don't. Hallelujah. But you know. And we want to walk in. This is why, you know, and I want to read to you. We're going to go over to 1 John. This is why, dealing with 1 John, we're dealing with broken fellowship. Why this is taking it over to our side into our covenant. We look what John wrote. John wrote and opened up this letter. If you go back to the beginning verses, he said these are the things that the Lord taught to them, that Jesus taught them, and that they're teaching others is what Jesus taught them. And this is about fellowship. So we need to understand this. This is about church and fellowship. Now the guy who started this thing off down here and saying, well, you know, we don't need to repent. We don't have to. He says that 1 John, the first chapter, is written to sinners. That's an impossibility. Sinners don't have fellowship with God, and their fellowship is, they don't have it, so they can't. You got to get born again to have fellowship with God. And this is talking about fellowship. And this talks about confession of sin. We don't confess our sins to get saved. You know, this guy is so blinded, and I'll tell you what, he's going to stand under great judgment for this thing that he's done. Great judgment, because he's lying to people, telling people, because he's been deceived by the devil. And I know people, they like him. They'll say he's a great minister and that's all. Oh, he says stuff is true, but I'm going to tell you, there's enough rat poison in to kill you. And so I'm not going to try to wade through the rat poison. We're going to turn around and listen to what's true. Now, in 1 John, we go there in the first chapter. I want to read to you 1 John, the first chapter. And it says, in verse 5, it says, "This is the message which we heard from him." Who? Him who? Jesus. "And declare to you." Now, this is what Jesus said. Here's what Jesus said. "That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." See, that's why God was dealing with the children of Israel. I can't stay among them. They like the darkness. I can't stay among them. There's no darkness in him. He's all light. And he can't stay among them. Now, "If you say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." See, if I'm saying I'm in fellowship with God and I'm walking in darkness or I'm walking in sin and I say I'm in fellowship with God, that's a lie. See, this is what this is about. This is about fellowship. It's not about this individual is not a child of God, but they don't have fellowship with God. See, you can have be a child of God and not have fellowship with him. Many Christians who are born again don't have fellowship with God. They live in sin, and they say, I'm in fellowship just like you. God lives me, and we're just as much. No, we're not. Jesus said you're not. You can have you have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. Because if we say we have fellowship, we're in darkness, we're liars. That's what it says. Now look, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, what do we have? Fellowship with one another. So me and Jesus are in fellowship with each other. What? And the blood of Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See, if we walk over in the light, the cleansing of the blood's there. In other words, if we miss it, he's going to tell us. Now, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. In other words, I understand this. See, some preachers preach this, well, you know, just we all have sin all the time. No, we don't. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about fellowship. He's talking about the ones that say they're in fellowship and in sin. So the person that's in sin, if he's deceived. If he says he doesn't have sin, and he does, he's deceived. Oh, said the truth's not in us. See, if we have sin, well, we're told, well, you know, the grace of God, you know, is so good that if we sin, we don't have to repent. If sin's in us, you don't have to repent. You'd say everything's okay anyhow. Well, Jesus sure believes different about that. He said, now look, what is it? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So see, hallelujah. This is wonderful. If I did miss it, I confess it, he forgives it. Then I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So now I'm cleansed from unrighteousness. What happens? We're in fellowship. Hallelujah. See, this is about fellowship. It's not about salvation. It's about fellowship. I can have salvation and no fellowship with God. Loads of Christians are in that category today. They're born again, but they have no fellowship with God. They don't walk with God. And so then he says this, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So in other words, if I have sin and I say I don't, we say we don't have it, we make him a liar. His word's not in us. So see, what he's talking about here, this is about fellowship. It's not about the children of Israel. What happened? That's why God, we know this, people are unrepentant because God moved out from among them and moved his tent out away from them. So he didn't consume them. Why? They're unrepentant. They have sin. Oh, they're sorry because they got caught and did a dumb thing. They're sorry, but they're not changing what they're doing. So I want you to see this now. Let's go. I want you to go to the book of Revelation, third chapter. I want you to see something here, Lord, because this is what we have here concerning, and again, we're going to look at a church with no fellowship with God. We want to look at that because, see, these churches are images really in our age and our time show us down the road things that are coming, things that they dealt with. Folks, we need to know none of this stuff's changed. When people tell you, well, you know, the Bible, you know, we're living, it's different today. They tell you it's different. This is what you need to know. Walk over, pat them on the back and say to them, you know, the devil's got you deceived. You're blinded by the devil. He's running your life. Now, I know they wouldn't want to hear that, but no, that's what's going on. When you think the Bible's not relevant to you today, you're already in darkness, you're calling God a liar. My word, we know that the Old Testament's relevant to us. We have the Scripture in the New Testament tells it is. And already we have a lot of the preachers lying say it ain't relevant to us today. About that. So, well, I'm going to tell you what, it's relevant, it's sure relevant to me, it speaks to me. But anyhow, in Revelation 3rd chapter, we're going to look at the last church. There were 6 churches that the Lord talked to. We could go through them and see things concerning. But I want you to look at this one specific, dealing in the areas of fellowship. Broken fellowship. You don't have fellowship by natural things, but you have fellowship with God. It's about your heart. And let's look at the Revelation 3rd chapter. And verse 14 goes on to this. I'm going to read to us. And it says, "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. He said, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Now I want you to see it. What a statement to make. I'll vomit you. Now understand the terminology. We go back and we look at the revelations that Paul got in his calling up from to heaven of what the church is. And Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Now he's talking about people that are in. And he said, Jesus said, here, if one's in me that are lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I'm going to vomit you out. In other words, you ain't going to be in me. We need to understand this. You know, this is quite a statement made here. Now, he said, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Now, he hadn't done it yet. He said, I'm going to. He's going to give him opportunity. Look what he goes on and said. Listen what he says about him. Because you say, I'm rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, they measured themselves by the outward. They had money. Oh, this is a church with money and the people got money. Oh, they're doing really good. They're wealthy people, you know. They don't need anything. Boy, they got to live great lives. But they don't know what they're really like. But what they're really like, they're wretched. They're miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's their spiritual condition. Oh, we have so many churches that are in line with that today. Oh, they look like it's good. And I'm not pointing the finger at some denominational church. I'm talking about their spirit-filled churches today. They're in the same thing. They talk about it. And it's all about what's in the outlooks and the outside. Everything on the outside looks wonderful. But I tell you what, there's a lot of hearts that aren't right today. They haven't spent their time on the spiritual. They spend their time on the natural. Their Christian walk is about getting stuff, having stuff, being all the stuff. It's not about their spiritual condition. Now listen what he goes on to say to them, these ones. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. You got to get gold from me. He said, why? That you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. See, they're not being able to see. They are blinded spiritually. They don't even see. They're not seeing properly. Jesus tells them what they need to do. They need the gold refined in the fire of God. They need to go to the Word of God and sit down and measure themselves against the Word. They're not. They have this perverted view that they've taken. And much of that happens today. A perverted view of the Word. Many, many people out here think that the Word of God is just about to bless my life, to give me a lot of stuff so I can just do what I want. And listen to this. Listen what he says, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Now listen to what he says. What are they supposed to do? See, well, you're doing all this wrong and you're in sin, but you don't have to ask me to forgive you because I've already done it. Did he say that? No. Now, does he love them? Yes, he does. He said that's why he's rebuking and chastening, because he does. Oh, well, see, God loves us and he'd never do anything to us because he loves us. See, he loves us and so he would never do anything. He loves us. No, the ones he loves, he rebukes and chastens. And therefore, he said, what? You're supposed to be zealous and repent. Now, listen what Jesus says. We're talking here about fellowship. Now, listen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus ain't even in this church. He's standing outside this church and he said, you people in that church. Now, he's telling them as individuals. Maybe as a church, the whole church, they won't repent. But any individual can. Any individual can repent. And he said, then I'll come in and I'll fellowship with you. But under the conditions that they're in without repentance, he will not come in and fellowship. He took his tent and moved outside the camp. He's outside the camp. Jesus is outside the camp, folks. Now, I want you to listen to this next verse and what Jesus said. This is Jesus talking. This, you go over and read it. This is Jesus talking to his church. He said, to him who overcomes. Overcomes what? Overcomes his sin. That's what it is, overcoming his sin. Why? Open the door. Let me in fellowship. I will grant to sit with me on my Father's throne. See, we're told, you know, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, it seems they're not. Out of fellowship with God, you ain't enthroned. The devil will have authority over you. You will not have authority over him. This is why what's going on in our nation today is why the church hasn't been able to stop it, because most of the church is not enthroned. Thank God for every one of you and every minister that preaches the truth and their congregations are enthroned as people sit on around the world. Thank God for every one of them. Oh, my. What would be the condition today if we did not have the ones that seated in the throne? I thank God we take our seat on the throne. Hallelujah. Not to live in sin, but to walk with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're taking our place in the throne. Thank God for everyone. He says that I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Hallelujah. See, we want to overcome. You can't overcome without taking our place of authority. That requires fellowship. You can't do that without fellowship. Then he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen to what I'm saying. You hear what he's saying? Listen to me. You guys listening to what I'm saying? Now, I want to go on here to this. We want to finish off something here in this chapter. We want to finish off as we're looking here. This will be helpful to us because I want you to see something. He said, if we go back over to Exodus 33, go back to Exodus 33, we're going to read from there. See, we're looking at this fellowship. See, we're talking about this thing. God moved outside the camp. Now, we found out God moved outside the camp, and anybody that wants to fellowship with God, they can go outside the camp to him. They go out to him. I want you to see this. I want you to look at something. In Exodus 33 and verse 8 says this, so it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. So, Moses would go out there, they'd watch. Now remember, they're watching Moses. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle and the Lord talked with Moses. So they'd go out there, they'd watch. Moses goes out to fellowship with God. Now we found this out. He moved that out there. Anybody go out there and fellowship. If they want to, they can go out. But they go watch Moses go out there. See, they're looking for the preacher to take care of him. The preacher's going to take care of us. See, Moses is going to go out there. He's going to take care of everything for us and that stuff. Now listen to this. And the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent door. Now, they stayed at the tent door. Now, God didn't tell them they had to stay at the tent door. See, a lot of people think, oh, see, they're being humble and they're being... Well, God, Moses said they could go out there to see God. They can go out to the tent where the pillar of cloud is. See, they have to approach God. But see, I want you to understand this. People who live in sin and don't repent, they don't have a conscience. Their conscience don't let them approach God. See, this is why these people tell you, you don't have to repent. I don't care. Your conscience, your inner man's going to bother, is going to bother you. Your inner man's going to know. You can't lie to your inner man about this thing. And so they're not approaching God. They can't, because listen to the next verse. It said the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Well, Joshua stayed out there. See, we know there's a guy, Joshua and Caleb. See, this is why there's two guys. There was two guys that made it in. See, there's two guys approaching God. The rest of them never did. We need to understand, as God said, you could approach. But see, we know this, they were never repentant people. People can fake that they go to church, and they can fake all this stuff about going to the presence of God. But I tell you, your heart, your own heart knows whether you can come before God or you can't. Your heart knows. See, we on the outside can go through all the motions, the religious motions. We can go to a church and we can go through all the things to make our flesh feel good. But I'll tell you what, this is why people have such a very hard time in the church today. Because, you know, listening to messages and stuff and things, the things that I'm preaching are very hard for a lot of people to listen to. But you know what? They're not hard for people who know God and walk with God. Why? We want to be cleansed. It's the Word that cleanses us. If we don't hear what the truth is, it's an impossibility to get cleansed. Do you know that? You can't get cleansed without the truth. And so this is so many people, they're trying to get cleansed on their feelings. You know, well, I went to church and they just had this really nice time of worship and it was so good. Those people got up in front of us in their things and they did them and they worship and all that stuff and all was so beautiful, was so wonderful and all that kind of, most of it was all flesh. But people, it made me feel good. And my feelings got so strong that it overrode the condemnation of my own heart before God. So I didn't feel bad on the inside. I didn't repent. I didn't do anything. You see, we don't want that. We want to walk before God where we can fellowship with God. And this is, these are the things that I'm teaching here. It's about fellowship with God. We want to stay in communion and fellowship with Him. You know, I want to be a Joshua. I want to stay at the tabernacle. Moses had to come back and he came back and came out with those people. Joshua stayed. You know, he wanted some more. He stayed in the presence of God. But you know what? The tent was put up out there so the people could go out to the tent. Why didn't they go to the tent? See, this is beyond me. God, they're allowed to. They go out to the tent there to seek God. But they don't go out there to seek God. They stay back. See, they're still having their mind. I don't want to get over here to God and get in the face of God. Why? Because I do. I feel guilty. So what I do is send a preacher out to go spend time with God. And then when he comes back, he tells us, but you know, if I hear what I don't like to hear, well then forget it. I ain't going to do it. They don't go to God themselves. See, the church world is filled with that today. The church world is full of those things. And I thank God. Now, look, there's good ministers and good churches and stuff, but there's much of this today going on out here called church. And people are talking about hooking up and get fellowship. See, oh, we got to get in unity. I'm sorry. I can't get in unity with people who aren't in unity with God. There's a unity I can't get in with them on. It's an impossibility. I don't care if they say they believe in salvation by faith. I don't care what they say about it. They can say anything they want. They ain't in fellowship with God. They're worshiping idols, and they have their idols and stuff that they worship, and they got all their junk that they do and all their stuff. People go do whatever they want and say what they want. I'll tell you, there's a lot of deceived ministers out here, deceived in things. They're walking by the ear of the flesh, the hearing of the flesh. They're walking by all kinds of things instead of walking in the light of the truth, the Word of God. There's number one that I pray for you folks and myself is we walk in fellowship with God. It isn't about, if I'm not in fellowship with God, the fellowship with men don't matter much. It don't matter. Oh, our whole thing today is trying to be in fellowship with people. Number one. No, the number one is be in fellowship with God. You're not in fellowship with God. John said if you want to be in fellowship with Him, you've got to be in line with God, His Word. He said then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our sin. You can have fellowship with John. John's fellowship is because he's in fellowship with Jesus. He wants people to get in fellowship with Jesus. They'll be in fellowship with Him. We have too many people that aren't in fellowship with Jesus. And everybody's trying to get in fellowship with one another. Ain't happening. We can go through and play and do all kind of our little religious games and all that kind of stuff, but it's not happening. We need to get into fellowship with God. Thank God Moses was in fellowship with God. And at least he was able to withstand a lot of the judgment off of Israel for the time. But judgment came. And we want to do what we can to help people, to give people time and repenting. And that's why you want to walk right, I want to walk right, is so we can help others and be a blessing to other people. Amen? So I just encourage you, as we read these things, as we see these things and that stuff and make a decision. See, if we preach the gospel to people, we got to tell them the truth. See, the number one, judgment starts in the house of God. And see, a lot of this is what's going on. I'll tell you what, you need to understand this thing that's happening right now. It seems like a worldwide, it's happening to everybody. I'm going to tell you, out of this is going to come judgment on the church. There's big judgment coming. There's big judgment coming. And I'll tell you what, it ain't going to look pretty. It's going to come on the church. And people don't want to have this, but I'm going to tell you what, it's going to start. And it's coming. Why? Because God loves His people, and He's going to have to rebuke them and chasten them. They won't listen. They've been blind and deceived, and He's going to have to try to do something to awake them up. And I'm going to tell you this, thank God there's ones that are going to awaken, but there's ones who are not. There are ones who have been stiff-necked, and they're going to stay stiff-necked. But there's ones whose hearts are going to turn again to God. So you know what you and I to do? We preach the truth, tell everybody the truth, whether they want to hear the truth or not. And we need to preach a gospel to the church. We're always talking about preaching the gospel to the world to get them saved. We need to start preaching the gospel to the church. And that's what I'm praying, because there ain't going to be any big revival unless the gospel concerning the church gets out there to wake the church. And that gospel, we need to start preaching the gospel, the truth to the church, to turn the church around. The church turns around, there's no problem with reaching the world. We can do that. But it's reaching the church. The church is preaching a false doctrine. They're telling the world, you know, the church, you know, you go into churches today, and it's like a nightclub. You go into them, they're doing the things. They got their restaurants, their coffee shops. They got all their stuff in their churches. Got all these kind of things that you go into. They do their nice little concert worship stuff with their lights and all their stuff. They do their things. You know, why would the world want to come to church? They got better than we got. They got better groups playing. They got better light shows. They got better. Why would they want to waste your time come to church for some entertainment? My word, the world knows how to entertain. Dear God, go to Las Vegas. They'll show you entertainment. Dear Lord, why would you go to church to get entertained? I ain't going to some stupid church to get entertained. Them give me their little rock and roll stuff. My words, get the real thing. And you can really party and make your flesh feel real good. Say, well, no, we need to tell people the truth. And the truth will make men free. We're not going to get people free. Keep trying to compromise with them and trying to join in with everybody and every other religious group. We're not going to do it. What has it done since people have been doing this stuff? Everybody hooked, trying to get together. Oh, it's made things real spiritual. Things have just gotten real spiritual doing this. Well, Kenneth Hagin had said this, and I learned from him that he said, I heard him say this years ago and many times before he left. He said, you look at the outcome of things. He said, you can tell if something was a move of God or not. He said, you just wait in time and see what the outcome comes, how long, what this thing does and what it does. Well, I've watched this stuff. These people say it moves of God. I watched the 9/11 thing in New York. All they talked to was a revival. There wasn't no revival up there. That was the church went up there and tried to please those people's flesh. They didn't go up there and tell them that the reason the things happened was because of judgment on our nation. No, they went up there and told them, oh, boy, the devil did this to you and that stuff, and God loves you. And boy, you know, you just come over, Jesus will take care of you and everything else. Those people never turned around and repented and turned. They went up there and joined together with all the different religions, got together up there, holding meetings, and all this was something that was really nice. It was absolutely insane. Well, we see what the outcome is. Where's New York today? Some kind of godly place? My God, they've gotten so much more heathen up there. Look at the mayor they elected. I mean, they elected a communist. He was actually a card-carrying communist. They elected these ministers. Revival up in there. What no revival up there? Ministers are so dumb today, they don't even know what a revival is. They have no clue what it is. I just amazing. There's ministers today, major ministers today, who came out of revivals and know what a revival was and call certain things revivals today. They are so dumb, they're so blinded, they don't know what revival is anymore. They can't even tell what's spiritual and what's not. We're not going to be that dumb. Hallelujah. Thank God I know when there's a move of God and I know when there's not. Hallelujah. And how do I know? Because Ed's so smart? No. Listen over in the spirit to find out. God will tell. See, God will tell a dummy like me. All I do is take my time and go to the tent. You go to the tent, He'll tell you. Hallelujah. Praise God, and He'll tell you too. So guys, God, we're going to spend time, and I just encourage you, take time to go to the tent. Take time, please take time to go to the tent. We have this time off. Many people can't do things. Take time to go to the tent. Hallelujah. Hear what God's saying. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we thank God for it. Father, We just thank you today for your wonderful word and your teaching here. Father, you have wonderful plans for man. Lord God, you sure do love us. And Lord God, you want us to come to the place that we walk in fellowship. You want us to sit on the throne. You want us to take our place of authority. And so, Lord God, we're doing it. And Lord God, that's what I'm doing today in this ministry of the word and preaching this word, Lord God, is because, Lord God, it's so people will come to the tent, to come to that place to meet with you in the fellowship, take our place on the throne of God. Hallelujah. So you can carry out your plans and purposes. Lord God, for the true love of God to be shown forth in the earth so men can be delivered, so men and women can see the real God of heaven. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord God. Thank you for having mercy on us. Thank you, Lord God. We need rebuke. Well, rebuke us. We need chasten us. Lord God, we're willing to be changed. We're willing to repent and turn. And I thank you for it, Lord God, of being so patient with us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.